Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozo Goes.
Rin, Pyo, To, Sha, Kai, Jin, Retsu, Zai, Zen.
With his new microphone. In today's episode, we are talking about Voltage Fighter Go Kaiser, aka Shoujin Gaiken Go Kaiser, The Voltage Fighters, a three-episode OVA released in 1996. I chose this one because it's actually been on the list for a while, so it's finally time. There's a dubbed version, which mashed it all together into a movie, but it cut some scenes. That's why we didn't watch that version.
You mean to tell me you could have watched less of it?
I'm not sure how much was cut, so I erred on the side of, like, this one.
That's
fine. Oh. I wanted to see more. Did I? Maybe.
Find out as we go through this. It was produced by JC Staff, the studio behind Ikitusen, A Certain Scientific Railgun, and Battle Arena Toshinden, which we covered for this podcast about 20 episodes ago.
Oh, some famous stuff.
Voltage Fighter Go Kaiser currently has a My Anime List score of 4.99. It's based on the fighting game of the same name, developed by Technos Japan, and which is the studio behind Double Dragon, and published by SNK on arcade and Neo Geo, plus a Japan-exclusive PlayStation version. My summary for this is, when a transfer student comes to Tron City, it spells doom for the planet Earth. Arthur, what do you have?
Epic humankind comes under peril. An unlikely group of heroes will come together to use their strength to protect it from forces beyond human.
And goes.
In the world of Go Kaiser, brass don't exist, and tits jiggle as if they are trying to escape. Sorry, you okay? Should I go again?
Yeah, carry on.
So a bunch of supermen have to fight purple muckmen and each other to save the world.
Yeah, as usual, perfectly put.
It's worth mentioning that the My Anime List score has dropped 0.01.
What is it now? It was 4.99 when I checked.
4.98 now. Please get your facts straight. We're very reputable.
So one of you must have voted after watching this.
No, that's blasphemy. I would never.
So the first episode opens in low moon orbit as a narrator talks about Tokyo being destroyed by an earthquake in the far-off future of 1999. And the camera slowly zooms into Earth while we're told that the survivors rebuilt a 22,000 hectare size city called Tron City. 22,000 hectares is about 84 miles, and Tokyo is over 5,200 square miles. So they didn't rebuild the same size.
I don't understand geography, so I...
Sorry, you're going to have to do kilometers. It's just... For, you know, for everyone.
One size is bigger than the other. You don't need to know miles or kilometers.
Maybe they built more, like, vertically this time.
Well, there is that one giant tower slash school, question mark? Anyway, the narration ends with the ominous warning about a mysterious facility in the center of Tron City, which I just mentioned. I need to check out my notes before I say things. Anyway, we cut to the police shooting at some mecha, and we're introduced to Commander Simmons. Don't know why I bothered writing that name down. Moments before a motorbike zooms past, headed straight for the mecha. The mechs shoot the rider, and the bike explodes, but an armored being, I don't know, teleports out of the explosion. It's Go Kaiser!
Who? I feel like you should be amazed.
Yeah, we'll get to that a bit later. But so he fist fights the mecha like he's in G Gundam, and we see glimpses of other characters. In fact, we see a lot more of some than others before the titles come up.
It must be really cold at night, by the way.
It is very cold in Tron City, yes.
I think it's very warm. That's why the outfits.
No, it's very cold. That's why their nipples.
Maybe it's just cold around their nipples.
It's possible. We cut to the morning where Isato Kaiser is working out and listening to a news report about a 6.5 magnitude earthquake in France. This never comes up again. He picks up a bracelet and has a flashback to Mr. Batman. Yes, really. Talking about it, containing a Kaiser stone. We later find out that his name is not Mr. Batman, but that's what he calls him, so that's what I had to write. His revelry is interrupted by a sound outside, which turns out to be his schoolmate Karen, who's come to pick him up, and also imply that he's murdered people whilst doing martial arts. That was weird. They jump on his motorbike, her quite literally, and head to school and meet their classmate Shia Hishizaki, and because she makes her onboard AI insult her, she winds up making them drive off of a bridge. Her and the AI, not the two on the bike. Isato and Karen arrive at school, almost crashing into someone with pink hair. It's a new kid. In class, Isato gets into an argument with a nerd, and Professor Rampo Fudo interrupts them, punishing Isato by making him write out 10 pages from a textbook by tomorrow. Weird punishment to copy words down, but okay.
And then after that, we never see another class, or the teacher, nor the nerd.
We see the teacher, we don't see the nerd. The teacher mentions Kyosuke Shigura, a transfer student, which is the pink-haired person from earlier, as you might have been able to guess. And we cut to another classroom where Hishizaki and Karen have snuck off to so they can check out Kyosuke. For some reason, Hishizaki is out of uniform in a bathing suit with a jacket. We knew that Hishizaki wasn't in the classroom with Isato because we saw her being, well, in roll call as a hologram. And then it quickly cuts back to Karen's name being called for attendance. And inexplicably, there's four versions of her playing Mahjong in the classroom wearing skimpy outfits. And that's never explained.
It's obvious. It doesn't need any explanation, God.
And there's, like, some girl in the background, like, above the four little dems, with, like, above a desk or something, which makes me think that they were little under a desk. But, yeah, I don't get it. It was trippy.
I will say this. I know I usually talk about the watching the gameplay footage towards the end of the podcast, but I did check out gameplay. And there's a special move where a small version of whichever character you're playing will go and help you beat up your opponent. Because it's 1v1 fighting, unless you get one of these tiny things. So maybe she used that move to get four of herself. Anyway, Kyosuke takes his seat and looks at someone's identification. It's black and white, the text is Japanese, so I had no idea who it was, due to how generic everyone's faces were. It could have been he himself with long hair, but we do later at least discover who it is. We cut to the night where Professor Fudo is being transported via helicopter to the UN building. The assembled UN representatives are introduced to Fudo as they discuss what is causing the earthquakes. Earth's equator is shifting. This never comes up again. Fudo explains that this is the work of Shizuru Ozaki, the president of the school, who has achieved the power of a god and is being used by a distant force to destroy the Earth. That's a lot to dump on the UN's doormat, but...
And it's like, he was super vague. Like, what is he? Oh, like... A messiah, what force, some faraway force, what kind of power, I don't know.
And then, like, the meeting's just adjourned. Yeah, okay, thanks.
Sounds like the Avengers. Global threat. Okay, anyone else have anything new? Maybe some small theft?
Days later, two people knock on President Ozaki's office door, Ryo and Suzu Asahina. Ozaki gives the pair a Kaiser stone, and a red-headed man takes that as his cue to leave, having somehow been hidden from the Asahinas, but not Ozaki. I at least didn't know who he was until later. Did either of you?
No, not a clue.
I don't know.
No, I found myself not knowing who I was looking at. The only one I could differentiate was Kyosuke.
What about the ladies?
I mean, they're all dressed the same.
Anyway, Rio asks about Fudo's presence at the UN conference, but Ozaki brushes it off. Suzu then asks about Isato because he has a Kaiser Stone, but doesn't seem worthy of it, so Ozaki tells them to undermine him, or kill him. The Asahinas finish up by asking about Kyosuke, but Ozaki tells them to steer clear. And I finally realized at this point that the kid was looking at a picture of Ozaki earlier, when I didn't know if it was he himself with long hair or what.
Yeah, it took me a little while to realize as well. I was like, wait, who is that in that picture? And I did think the same thing as you. I was like, maybe it's just like his younger self. And I was like, well, I like him more with longer hair, huh?
The Asahinas leave, and Ozaki talks to himself about Kyosuke circumventing some measures he put in place. Very vague. A lot of this is very vague, so if my notes sound vague, don't blame me. We cut to Kyosuke, who summons a fire dog called Kubira, which talks about this dimension, and he tells Kubira to take human form instead of, a fiery dog. So it transforms into a woman, and he complains about her outfit. They leave, heading into town, but don't realize that they were both being watched. So we cut to Hishizaki in the shower for some nudity, where she has a psychic flash of Kyosuke. Her AI, Bull Boy, brings a towel and opens the door, getting a nosebleed somehow before she hits it with a bar of soap.
Can you see that robots can nosebleed?
It was oil and therefore very dangerous for her to coming out of the shower. Anyway, she asks it about white school uniforms because her psychic flash of Kyosuke was in white, and it replies that those are known as white orchid, worn as a symbol of strength. This never comes up again. We cut back to Kyosuke and Kubira, who are surprised to be shifted into the Devil's Quarter dimension. It was a trap, somehow. Also, Devil's Quarter dimension named or visited after this scene. His sister appears from the shadows, the person who was watching them earlier, but Kubira says that it's an illusion. It touches his sword and he stabs it, so it turns into a goo thing being controlled by Ozaki. They fight, and Kyosuke is hit by an explosion, so we cut back to Ozaki, who is playing chess by himself and monologuing like a git. We get a flashback to when Rio and Suzu Asahina met Ozaki. Suzu was dying, and Ozaki offered to save her with a Kaiser Stone. Also, they're brother and sister, and also lovers.
Yay! We did it!
What did we do?
We did the incest meme!
Did the incest, okay. Rio wakes from the memory and startles his sister asleep in bed beside him, and they're both naked in case you didn't get the subtext and actual text. Suzu is upset that her remaining alive is actively hurting her brother, but he brushes it off. We cut to Isato, where he's disturbed from looking at a punching bag by Kyosuke, who is badly injured. Later, Kyosuke awakens bandaged, and Isato gives him apple garlic tea.
I need to try that shit. Maybe it gives you superpowers.
Confirmed, this is Gorsa Gorsa's villain arc.
No! Anti-hero.
Oh, okay, sorry, I got it wrong.
Kyosuke explains his whole deal, dead sister seeking revenge against Ozaki, and that he can sense Isato has something from Ozaki and he needs to get rid of it. The only thing that Isato can think of is the bracelet from Mr. Batman. But when he returns from his memory, he just drifted off, Kasaki is asleep.
What if he thought that the bracelet's gonna turn him into Robin?
Mr. Robin, surely. The next day at school, Karin is upset that Isato left already with cash as she brought lunch in. This was the first mention of cash, so I was confused, but turns out he was the redhead guy from earlier and just hadn't been named.
Mr. Batman. Mr. Bruce Wayne. No, wait, Bruce Wayne is his superhero name. Bruce Wayne Man. No, that doesn't make sense. It would just be Bruce Wayne. And Mr. Batman is his real name.
Anyway, we catch up with Cash and Hisato as they have a fight, until Cash tells Hisato to activate his soul gear by using his Kaiser Stone. Hisato has a magical girl transformation, and we finally see Go Kaiser for the first time since the start.
I love the magical girl transformation. Oh my god. That is such an accurate representation of what happens.
Thank you. Cash also transforms, and we discover that he's Mr. Batman, and then they fight. Cash gets the upper hand, but is stopped by the arrival of the Asahina siblings, who tell him to back off. They want to fight Hisato. The pair transform, merging so it basically looks like a female body piloting a large male body. Also, she's naked.
Please, let's not try to take that design apart. Let's just continue.
No, I think we should probably talk about it.
In the game, she has her arms crossed across her chest, and she can use them to attack the other player, the other character, but this was a weird design.
There was no arm crossing in this one.
I mean, she couldn't. Her arms were inside her brother's arms, piloting them like a mech.
I guess it was a pretty feminist design, wasn't it, if she was piloting him?
Technically speaking, it would be the opposite, because if she's piloting him, it means she needs to pilot a male body to get into a fight. Wow, this is very sexist. I can't believe it.
No, but she's in control, so I don't get feminist stuff. So maybe you're right.
So they kick Aisato's ass, and he transforms back to normal, which means he's naked. They're about to kill him when Karen comes out of nowhere and thwacks him with a stick. She introduces herself as the 133rd generation priestess of heaven and tries her best, but they get the upper hand and electrocute her so that her clothes turn invisible for several frames. Hisato transforms again and nukes the siblings, turning them back to normal, and it seems killing the brother, but the pair are teleported away. We cut to Ozaki, who is holding the two Kaiser Stones. And he's visited by an entity with a female form who tells him it's time for them to do something. Then we get quick cuts to other characters reacting to a general feeling that something's going down. And the episode ends with Ozaki begging for someone, anyone, to stop him. And we get the credits with a pretty decent song. The second episode opens with a narrator telling us a bit of nebulous stuff about Ozaki that doesn't seem to mean anything. And then we get the titles. We come back to Kyosuke and Kubera discussing him going to fight Ozaki. They're interrupted by Hishizaki, who wants to talk. So, of course, we cut from that to Ozaki, who is warning Suzu about taking on the two Kaiser Stones that her brother used before implanting it in her chest. Also, she's naked.
I think at this point we should just start mentioning when they're not naked, so to stop repetition. It'll happen way less often.
Meanwhile, Hisato, who is not naked, is atop a cliff with Karen, also not naked, and Cash, also not naked.
Okay, I see the error in my ways.
Can we get, like, percentage of nakedness on each of them?
He's looking at his Kaiser Stone, and then attempts to throw it away, but is stopped by Cash. Cash explains what the Kaiser Stone is, and his history with Ozaki, having received the stone as a musically gifted child, and that's when he became Hell Stinger. That's his transformed name.
Wait, I thought it was Bruce Wayne.
We get a flashback of him facing Ozaki, who won by showing Cash what the future held with the planet exploding, which, you know, means that he won the fight. Cash goes on to explain that the Kaiser Stones are made from Ozaki's blood, not actually stained, but his scream. Hisato and Karen are both as baffled as we, the viewers, are. So instead, Cash explains it as two swords made by a swordsmith, one good, one evil, while Karen falls asleep.
Are you sure it's only Karen?
While Karen and the audience falls asleep, the three decide that they have to save the world. We cut to nighttime, where someone is trying to convince his date to go back to his place, unsuccessfully. The cops swoop in and deploy for some reason, before we cut over to Kyosuke attempting to blow a hole in a wall, before deciding his ultimate weapon to get in. Kubera stops him, fearing it will use up all of his energy. But the argument is stopped when music starts playing and Misty Shire, boobs and butt appear on the scene. Kyusuke isn't fooled for an instant, asking what Hishizaki is doing there, since he didn't want her help based on whatever they talked about earlier that we didn't see. She forces the issue, using Bull Boy to power up and attack the wall, which somehow works, since it seemed to just deflect them both off. Kyusuke tells Kabira to take her to a safe place, which she isn't happy about, but he seals the door behind himself and runs off. As he gets into a fight, we get flashback to that chat he had with Hishizaki. He tells her about his sister and how he feels like half a person, so she offers herself to become his other half. She fell in love really quickly, they've known each other for days. So he gives her his sister's stud earring, and she puts it on.
Oh no, more incest, isn't it? Goddamn.
We return to the fight, when suddenly Gokaiser busts through the wall to help, along with Hellstinger. But Kyusuke tells them to shove off and walks away. Meanwhile at the police, goo monsters are marching through them because they're ineffectual, until Karen appears, and immediately gains the upper hand, much to the police's shock. Back in the tower, Gokaiser and Hellstinger are having a look around when they come across Suzu, who transforms to fight Isato. And then we get the credits with a different song. It was a bit of a bop, I thought. The third episode opens with a helpful reminder about who each character is and what their motivations are. And then get the titles.
Thank God, I really needed that in the final episode and not the first one.
We come back to Kyosuke climbing a spiral staircase when an explosion far below him happens, and he mutters complaints about the two he left earlier. The explosion was loud enough to be heard outside, where Karen lets it distract her before the goo monsters grab her with hentai tentacles. She's rescued by Ball Boy and Misty Shire before they attack the goo monsters and bounce their breasts. Inside the tower, Suzu is kicking Gokaiser in, but he's saved by Hellstinger. We cut away from there to Kyusuke, as he enters Asagi's office. Asagi explains that he gave Kyusuke power, then increased that power, then killed his sister, and that was his plan all along, because through their training, Kyusuke began to look up to him, so he killed her to break that relationship.
Just basically your normal parental figure.
They fight, but calling that is being generous, and then Ozaki transforms. Downstairs, Gokaiser interrupts the fight between Mr. Batman and Suzu before depowering, again into his street clothes, and tells Suzu that she can kill him if that's what she wants. She slaps him about, but stops and depowers, though she's naked, unlike Isato. And the Kaiser Stone in her chest is threatening to kill her, so Cash depowers and says he can use his stone to neutralize hers. But Isato has to go off and do something while he's doing it.
You forgot to mention that Cash also gets to keep his clothes.
I did forget to mention that. Instead of doing it right away, he has a brief flashback to his childhood as a musical prodigy. And then upon pressing the stones together, there's an explosion of energy and we cut back to Ozaki's office.
Bruce Wayne will be missed.
Kyusuke is quickly injured and about to be killed when Kubira arrives, allowing Kyusuke to stop Ozaki, who falls down seemingly dead. Kubira, however, manages to have a few words with Kyusuke before she dies. Isato bursts in just in time to see Kyusuke being grabbed by whatever the heck died Ozaki. It forms into the female form we saw earlier, calling itself Omni-Exist, and it wants Earth to be destroyed to stop humanity from spreading to the stars. In any case, it believes that humanity secretly wants to be destroyed, and Isato gets into a yaha-naha argument with it. You do want to be destroyed? Well, I don't. Well, you do. Well, I don't. Well, you do. God, shut up!
And that's how the anime ended. He finally won the...
This anime is very ahead of its time. It, like, predicted how Twitter is gonna be like.
Isato does his magical girl thing, and they fight. Cash interrupts the fight by playing his harmonica for some reason, before confirming that Suzu's probably fine, then transforms to help. Inside Omni-Exist, we see Kyosuke, who hallucinates hearing voices before being bathed in light. Back outside, the heroes monologue at Omni a bit, and Gokaiser manages to get a lucky hit because Kyusuke managed to get Ozaki to distract her. When I end things with a question mark, it means I didn't understand. You may have noticed.
Did everything in this anime end with a question mark, or was it just for me?
He stabs a hole in Omni, and the heroes defeat Omni? He stabs a hole in Omni, and then the heroes, power up and defeat Omni. And it's anticlimactic.
And then Omni is like, she pulls the Terminator and says, I'll be back.
She does. The tower explodes while Karen and Hishizaki watch. But we cut to a little later where everyone stood in the wreckage, wondering where Kyusuke is. And then he turns up too. Literally zero effort to make us concerned for the heroes. And then we get the credits with a third song. Very upbeat song, in fact. Now I need a drink.
Like an alcoholic one? Because same.
First one, then the other. I'll ask, was this a good adaptation? Did either of you look up the gameplay?
I did. There was a lot more nudity than what I got to see the gameplay. But is that really a complaint anyone should have?
Yeah, I feel like it was a good adaptation. There was cool fighting. Fighting was nice. Please more fighting, or less of other stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think that there was enough fighting, but some quibbles I have. The game is set in Neo Tokyo. I mean, of course it is. But in this, it's Tron City. The game has 10 characters, and we see barely any of them, and it invents a couple. And there's also giant animals in lava caves. There's a rock concert. There's a robot called Marion.
Mario?
Marion.
Chris Pratt?
The game does rely on TNA, though, as seen in the Hishizaki stage, which is, well, a stage. She's an idol. And the screen in back has some jiggly animations. But as well as being an idol, Hishizaki in the game is an alien policewoman.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I got to see, I felt like they focused... I think it makes sense that they would obviously focus on Gokaiser and, the cash and all that. But I feel like they focused a little too much on them and no one else got any screen time whatsoever.
Well, I'll ask, is this a Yata, Nani, or a Baka? That's her.
For me, it's a Nani. I mean, I saw the 4.99 score and I was like, oh god, here we go, Galarian's Rion again. But it wasn't as bad. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It just is. Aside from a lot of sexism and a lot of nudity, like, it was okay.
Okay, and goes.
Can we do something between Nani and Yata? Can we make...
Yanni.
Okay.
No, Ace, I didn't know. I said Yanni.
I'm just going to say Yata because of the animation. I thought that was really, really good all around. I almost didn't finish watching it in time because I kept pausing and studying the frames, the shading, stuff like that.
I see why he took so long.
That one scene of Hishizaki in the shower.
Yeah, basically. Or the one scene the numerous scenes where everyone's naked.
Well, shower scene didn't have very great shading because it was very well lit.
Actually, when Bull Boy gets hit by the soap, there's two or three frames of Hishizaki in an outfit, like posing with three or four Bull Boys around her. And why he's just seen her naked and he's thinking of her clothes. That's a weird robot.
It's a robot, like,
Yeah, we
can't
know
do what... even Will Smith eating spaghetti, right?
We don't know what AI thinks about.
For me, this was a baka. It was too long, badly explained plot. There's too many characters with no coherent plots between them. What even is that bit at the start where Gokaiser fights Mecha And then we see glimpses of other characters. There's at least two characters in that opening who have speaking roles, but we never see them after that start bit.
Oh, I can explain that. It's...
Please.
The bit at the opening of the first episode is what happens before the third episode.
Right, I figured that, but there's these characters talking about Gokaiser, and we've never met them. How do they know who Gokaiser is?
I don't know. He was just around. He was just doing superhero stuff before that, I guess. It was schlocky, and yeah, I liked that. Liked it because of that. Like, the animation... Like, the fucking jiggling was out of control. It just made me laugh so much. It was worse or better, depending on your point of view, than the jiggling setting in Dead or Alive games, where you can turn...
High School of the Dead?
Oh yeah, that's similar. But I think here it was more like, yeah, they were trying to escape, pretty much. In High School of the Dead, they were a bit more tame, I'm gonna say. Here it was like, they are a threat, and we need to take care. We need to get those girls some brass, because the world's gonna end.
I love that they are a threat. That's brilliant. Okay, does this deserve its minimalist score of 4.99?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. One thing I do agree with you about your scoring is it went on quite long. I think if it had been shorter, it would have definitely been more tolerable. 4.98 at this point is pretty okay.
I definitely agree. It deserves less than 5. I said that there's too many characters, and I also complained that the game has 10 characters, and I think that both are valid arguments, because either put all of the characters in or get rid of some of the characters you're talking about.
Yeah, I get that. I think I would give it a bit higher score just because of the animation. I think the animation was really, really good throughout the whole thing. I couldn't pick on anything, like, if I tried. It was very consistent.
The faces were awful, but other than that, it was all fine.
I mean, it's just kind of the art style of that time period, where the faces were weird, and everyone had really thin waists.
So thin. Well, a Battle Arena to Shinden, which came out just before this, was at a 5.29 minimalist score.
Oh.
So I imagine if we cover anything else from JC staff, it's going to have a similar score, and we're going to have similar complaints.
I will quit.
I don't think that there's any coming up soon, and also that was like 20 episodes ago, so...
Maybe they'll get better writers. I mean, they did, because you mentioned some anime that they did later on, and those are really well-liked shows, right?
Yeah, Ikkitsusen got a new show just last year. It's a well-regarded franchise. But, yeah, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Artura and Gozugos.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.